Coming to you live from Witness Protection, it's the 10 Point Podcast. My name is Bruce, and for as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. And this here podcast is based on a true story. Not ratting on friends and always keeping their mouths shut with me this week. First, you're going to like this guy. He's all right. He's a good fella. It's Andy.
Yay. Chris knows him. I don't.
So friendly for once. I don't know why, but I have decided Andy is first all this season. Ever since the start of the season, we're one fitted Chris second. Secondly, he's a funny guy. It's Chris.
How am I funny?
You're funny just the way you tell the story. It's funny. Like a clown, like that you are here to amuse us, Chris. That's how you are a funny guy. We are the 10 Point Podcast. We come to you on a near weekly basis on every single source on the internet that provides podcasts and video versions of podcasts. Our favourites are Spotify, which has video versions built in that you can see. The 10 Point Broadcast over on the YouTube channel, 10 Point Podcast over there, where you can see the lovely waving, smiling faces from the pod.
Like a ghost.
It's not me for a change. I'm looking kind of red-faced over here. Yes. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, they exist. Send us messages. They are monitored to a certain degree. They're not very active, but they exist.
Only fans.
10pointpodcast.com is our website. Send us emails over there. Contact us on all these sort of things. And I imagine nobody put anything new up, but they did say if anyone put a review on any websites, we would read it out on the podcast. I don't think anyone has. Let me quickly check Spotify.
Yeah, I think Trans listened.
Yeah,
we straight away
asked Sean to write a review of the podcast, and he didn't do it. He did not deliver. I can't even find my own podcast on Spotify to find out if it's got reviews written on it.
There was not one fan here. I asked.
I mean, we've got plenty of 5-star reviews. Like, we have a 5-star rating on Spotify, exactly. But no one's actually written 5-star a review. Podcast. Exactly. Either way, we will read out your reviews verbatim, Thesaurus Nick Claudio from Rio de Janeiro style, if you do write reviews, so please do that. Before we get on to this week's episode, we're going to run through our highlights of the week, where I will take a back seat because I have absolutely nothing to add to the conversation. But Andy, what was your highlight of the week?
I watched the new Netflix film Damsel with Millie Bobby Brown.
With Eleven in it, yes, who is tied into a 40-year contract with Netflix to make movies. How is Damsel?
So, you know, in The Hobbit, the desolation of Smaug, or Smaug, or however you want to say his name.
Mm-hmm.
You know that bit where it goes on too much and it's all about him and the thing and him wandering around the dragon's dungeon?
Right, yes,
Yeah, it's that for 45 minutes with Millie Bobby Brown doing it instead of Martin Freeman.
Instead of Martin Freeman doing it, okay, let's see.
It's not shit, it's something a little bit different, and you can see the twists in that coming because obviously that's how they had to advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be way better if they hadn't advertised it. But go right into what you're getting.
Yeah, pretty much they show off, oh, this is different because it's like, I'd better if I'd seen it without knowing that. Yeah. Does the film end half an hour before the end of the story, like The Desolation of Smaug does, and then milk
really
it for a whole
ending,
other film?
Actually. It's like I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I'd kind of seen it coming as well, but it's got a couple of twists in it. Chris, I like the, ooh, how's a wee twist there? I didn't see coming. But ultimately, the ending's inevitable, and you get what you're given.
But good, you would say. You're not saying it's the highest recommendation, but
I've not been to the cinema that often, seen things recently, but something new piqued my interest. So
it's been a bit of a barren movie going period. They call it dumpuary. I don't know if it's February or January, but one of them they refer to as dumpuary. Well, you dump all your films that aren't going to be a success. So that probably explains it. Chris, highlight of the week from you.
I'm 10 years late to the party, but I started watching Life's Too Short. Right.
I don't know if I've finished it now I think about it. I've seen some of it for definite, but I don't know if
I've seen
like,
all over Facebook little snippets of it, and I'm like, I'm gonna give this a go. And I watched the first episode, I had me in stitches. Like, when he falls out of his van, it killed me.
You know, that is basically based on his real life.
He is
exactly like that as well.
He's a funny guy. He's like, do you know, like Jim from The Office? He throws like little looks at the cameras and all that. Little things that just crack me up, and the whole Liam Neeson is comedy improv thing cracked me up. So I'm looking forward to the rest of the episodes.
Yeah, I mean, Ricky Gervais's comedy like shows they're usually good. Like, there's usually more right than there is wrong with them. But I feel, I don't know, it's, they're not as prominent as they once were. Like, it got lauded because Office was the best thing ever, but it's not the sort of thing you get reruns of anymore. The American one's kind of taken its place as being on all the time. But and I've still never watched any of Afterlife, which I don't know. It's
no,
just
I'm not bored with that.
Never attracted me. It's meant to be great. It's meant to be the best thing he's ever done and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, I've just no interest in watching it, really. Yeah, I genuinely have nothing to add. Like, I'm still watching What We Do in the Shadows. It's up and down now that we're in the fifth season, which I've learned the sixth they're making now and is the last one. But still some great bits, still the odd hilarious cameo. I must say, to tease you guys into maybe having a look at it, Wesley Snipes is in an episode, and they basically just imply that he is Blade in the episode that he's in. And also, in well into the seasons, they come up with a harebrained scheme that we have to build a vampire nightclub. And one of the characters just keeps banging on about wanting blood sprinklers the entire time. And I'm like, yes, keep feeding me Blade references. I'll eat them up. Like, yeah. That's so yeah, there are a lot of Blade jokes here and there when it comes to...
I'll get into it 10 years later.
Yeah, exactly. Life's too short, and eventually you'll get there. Right, we better crack on, because we have a very important movie to deal with this week. Point number one on the 10-point podcast is, what is the point? The 1990 true crime gangster biography drama, Goodfellas. Written by and based on the book Wise Guy by Nicholas Pileggi, who's famous for writing Goodfellas and then Casino, which came not long after it and is basically a sequel, but not really a sequel to it. And the film was written and directed by Martin Scorsese, who, Chris, you could correct me if I'm wrong, first time we've ever done Scorsese in any fashion on the podcast?
I think so.
I think so as well.
Yeah, we'll do the... time.
Yeah, he always gets shouts out here and there because he's a significant person. And because it's the first time, I've got basically all the big films he's been involved in. So we'll do the guessing game here. Scorsese, what is he famous for in the last 100 years of filmmaking?
Departed. Any gangster film.
Departed is not one of the things he's famous for, but he did indeed direct it, and that's what he won his Oscar for, his first Oscar. I think he may have a couple now. I can't exactly remember how they've been dished out in the last few years, but he first won an Oscar for The Departed, but that's not what he's famous for. Gangster movies, you're correct, Andy, as in I think if you count Killers of the Flower Moon as a gangster movie, which I've not seen properly, but it seems like there's some sort of gangsterness in it.
I thought it was like...
No, it's gangsters about the oldie times.
It's maybe the ye olde days of gangsters, maybe. But the other three that he's famous for are gangsters, one or another. So the one things he's famous for are basically his first two films. He wrote and directed Mean Streets, and then he directed Taxi Driver way back in the 70s. There too. And then Goodfellas is the other one, what he is famous for, which he wrote and directed. But the rest, Scorsese, been involved in, directed Raging Bull, directed The King of Comedy, directed Cape Fear, wrote and directed Casino, directed Gangs of New York, The Party We Mentioned, director of The Wolf of Wall Street, director of The Irishman, and then others as well. He's directed like 70-something things, which involve bits and bobs, but we're at the point now where Scorsese, whatever he makes, is big time, whether it be Irishman, Killers of the Flower Moon, and all that. I thought he wrote and directed a lot more than he did, but I think the difference is he doesn't write as much because it's kind of based on true stories a lot of the time, so he kind of makes adaptations of things rather than writing.
I think him and Coppola are getting kind of morphed into one for me, because I'm thinking gangster films.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're the kind of the, I don't know if they are the godfathers of gangster movies or not, but they're certainly in the conversation, I would say. The film stars, and now this gave me a tough route because we've not actually covered any of the first five who come up before the title Goodfellas. So I thought let's go for all five. Let's go through them because I think a couple of them it's their biggest hit. First billed as Jimmy Conway, Robert De Niro, first billed in this film. And I think we've never covered him on the podcast, which caught me by surprise. What is he famous for?
Meet the Fockers.
He is in all those. I've got Meet the Parents on my list as well, but they're not what he was famous for on the...
Taxi Driver,
correct. And also Scorsese
Raging
film.
Bull.
Yes, and also Scorsese film, yes. One more of those.
Fucking Bull and Cole.
No. Cape Fear is the other one that's him and Scorsese.
Wait, he's famous.
And then The Deer Hunter is the other famous, allegedly, De Niro one. They are his four most famous. Things Were Not Mentioned, also in Mean Streets. King of Comedy. Once Upon a Time in America, The Untouchables, Casino, Heat, Jackie Brown, Ronin, Limitless, Silver Linings Playbook, Joker, The Irishman, and Killers of the Flower Moon. Basically, if it's Scorsese, he's in it. And then odds and ends here and there. Robert De Niro is first billed, is only a sign of the times or a sign of where Ray Liotta was in his career at that stage that, like, De Niro's billed before him, I would say. Speaking of Ray Liotta, he's next as Henry Hill, the main character in the film, billed second. Can you tell me what Ray Liotta is famous for? This is a tough one.
B movie.
Not B movie, but yes, he is. He plays himself in that, doesn't he? In B movie. Yeah.
Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear is on my list, but it wasn't one of the four. Give him one more guess, see if he can get one.
Pulp Fiction.
He's not in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, the other
he's
one.
Not in Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
Goodfellas is the one I thought was guessable, but the others are not. Something Wild. I know, same. Something Wild is something he's famous for. I've never heard of that film before, and it's the first thing basically on his IMDb that was flagged up to me. Something Wild, never heard of it. It's in Field of Dreams, then made Goodfellas, so this is really quite near the start of being Ray Liotta at this point. Other famous roles, Hannibal, he was in that. He's the one what gets his head chopped
oh,
open
yeah.
in Hannibal. Narc is something he's famous for. I don't know that one. Grand Theft Auto Vice City is just about his most prominent role in my lifespan, as him being Tommy Vercetti in that. Revolver, one of the most baffled by films I've ever seen at the cinema. Revolver is his other last famous role, according to
Modern
IMDb.
Family. That's where I've seen him most recently.
Yeah. He's been in. He recently ended up just playing Ray Liotta showing up in things for the last part. But significant works after Revolver, I've got Smoking Aces, The Many Saints of Newark, and then Cocaine Bear, which somebody mentioned, I think. So,
I think it was
Ray Liotta.
Was not Pulp Fiction.
Smoking. It's not Pulp Fiction.
Not Smoking Aces, something like early.
Well, it'll maybe come up at some point. But yeah, Ray Liotta, famous for more for being Ray Liotta than he was being in successful things, I think, really. Third, as Tommy DeVito, Joe Pesci somehow dodged us. We avoided him at Christmas time. I thought that's where we might have got him. Joe Pesci, what's he famous for? And that's not a spoiler, because Home Alone 1 and 2 are not what he is famous for, according to IMDb.
The Michael Jackson movie.
Moonwalker. No, it's not that. No.
Lethal Weapon.
Lethal Weapon 2, 3, and 4. Was he not in the first one? By my,
no,
I might have missed
it. He wasn't the first one. He's very
right. I maybe missed it, but yeah, I had 2, 3, and 4. But yeah, Lethal Weapon series, he's in that.
I'd like your pick.
Well, another guess. Goodfellas is one of them. Name me another Joe Pesci famous for film. What's he famous for?
Nah, fuck it, though.
Raging Bull as well.
Is it?
My Cousin Vinny is maybe his most famous role outside of Goodfellas.
He's not Mickey Blue Eyes as well.
He's not in Mickey Blue Eyes, no. But The Irishman, basically, he came out of retirement. He made no films. Yeah, he's an Irishman. He's very prominent. Like, basically, it's Goodfellas Part 2, but with different characters. It's the exact same film, but with the same actors playing different roles, the Irishman. But yeah, Joe Pesci hadn't made a film in something like 8 years before The Irishman. I think he's made one thing since The Irishman. He just came back, made a great film, probably got Oscar nominated for The Irishman, I think. And then, I'm going back to retirement again. Well, there you go, Marty. There's my one role of the century. You can have it.
Yeah, the Super Bowl advert where he meets Macaulay Culkin again he was past his house or something like that.
He's not famous for that, necessarily. Once Upon a Time in America and Casino are the other ones. Gangster movies for Joe Pesci and then Home Alone, basically. As Karen Hill, we've got Lorraine Bracco. Now, I've only got what she's famous for plus one other. And I'm assuming if Chris has seen it, he's going to say the obvious thing, what Lorraine Bracco is famous for.
I haven't seen it, but I know
right. The Sopranos is what she's most famous for outside of this. Other things are Goodfellas was a big first role for her. Medicine Man, The Basketball Diaries, and then she's in the television show Rizzoli and Isles. She's in a lot of that, apparently. Yeah. But I don't think she's either Rizzoli or Isles in that. But yeah, she was in Goodfellas, and then she was in The Sopranos, and that's Lorraine Bracco, basically. And fifth, and finally, he was the and before Goodfellas came up. As Polly Cicero, we've got Paul Sorvino, who I recognise as Paul Sorvino, the famous actor. And he's not really in an awful lot that's very successful. He's in a lot, as in he's in like 70 more things than De Niro is.
He's a gangster.
But I think he's as close to being an actual gangster as he's an actual actor, Paul Sorvino. Famous for Goodfellas, The Rocketeer, Nixon, and then Repo, the genetic opera, are the four things that he's famous for. He's also in The Gambler, Cruising, Law and Order television series for a couple of seasons, and then Romeo plus Juliet, the famous DiCaprio one from the 90s. He was not in a Batman. He may well have voiced something in something like that. But yeah, he's 179 things Paul Sorvino was in, and that's the best of the bunch of what I've just listened to you there. So they are the main cast for the film, but some familiar faces pop up along the way that we shall mention. Goodfellas in 1990 on a budget of $25 million, opened in North America to $6 million in its first weekend. Final gross in North America, $47 million. Final worldwide gross was about 200,000 more than that. So I feel like that's not actually the worldwide gross. But then we do know numbers are a bit funky from back in the day, what films were successful in cinemas and what weren't. So it maybe made a profit potentially at the box office, but I would reckon in home video and in DVD rentals and sales and re-airing on television and being a cult classic since 1991, it'll have made a lot of money for those involved. Release 21st of September 1990 in America, 26th of October 90 in the UK, meant that it was positioned perfectly for the 1991 awards season. Not a lot going on here. However, there was a lot going on at the 1991 Oscars for Goodfellas with six nominations. Best Editing, which it lost to Dances with Wolves. Best Adapted Screenplay, which it lost to Dances with Wolves. Best Director, Martin Scorsese. He lost to Kevin Costner for Dances with Wolves. Best Supporting Actress, Lorraine Bracco, lost to Whoopi Goldberg in, not Dances with Wolves, but Ghost, which I think it's just about a weekly mention on this podcast, and Chris rolls his eyes anytime Ghost gets mentioned, and I'm going to pick it on the podcast one time.
Next week.
I'm going to pick it just to show you it's not as bad as you think it is. Best Supporting Actor, Joe Pesci was the winner of the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor that year, and then also nominated for Best Picture was Goodfellas. It lost to, you'll be surprised to hear, Dances with Wolves, which seemed to have cleaned up at the 91 Oscars, did Dances with Wolves. No Razzies, no MTVs, no Saturns for Goodfellas. Other awards, nominated for 5 Golden Globes, which it won none of, but it did win 5 BAFTAs, did Goodfellas. Best Screenplay, Costume, Editing, Director, and Best Film at the BAFTAs, this one was. So the British Film Board certainly liked this film as the American. Exactly. Synopsis of Goodfellas, brought to us by Formica or something like that. I didn't have any of the usual contributors, which shocked me. I was sure Nick would love this one. Goodfellas goes like this. This film views the mob lives of three pivotal figures in the 1960s and 70s New York. Henry Hill is a local boy turned gangster in a neighborhood full of the roughest and toughest. Tommy DeVito is a purebred gangster who turns out to be Henry's best friend. Jimmy Conway puts the two of them together and runs some of the biggest hijacks and burglaries the town has ever seen. After an extended jail sentence, Henry must sneak around the back of the local mob boss, Paulie Cicero, to live the life of luxury he has always dreamed of. In the end, the friends end up in a hell of a jam and must do anything they can to save each other and stay alive. That's not exactly how the film goes, but
I was going to question that. I didn't realise that he snuck behind his back apart from the whole cocaine thing. I thought he just let them do what they want as long as it didn't affect Paulie.
I think the only sneaking was, I'm not supposed to be dealing drugs, but I am, and I'm not supposed to be doing that. That's the only sneaking. But I didn't think he came out of prison and was like, I need to live the life of luxury I've always wanted to. I'm going to sneak around to continue that. I felt like he was just like, I'm out of prison. I'm going to go back to being a mobster, basically. Yeah. How I... Who picked? It was Chris. Chris, why have you picked Goodfellas?
It's a film that I have seen before, but I haven't seen it for absolutely ages. Like, I remember...
Andy's just off the back of watching it, seemingly. I don't know.
I realize we hadn't done Scorsese or any other big hitters.
Yeah. I had seen it a few times before. Chris obviously seen it before, as he mentioned. Andy, had you seen Goodfellas before?
Yes.
Thank you for your concise answer. Which version did we watch? There is only one version. Scorsese made a TV version which reduced some of the violence and all of the heavy swearing for television, but you can only see it on TV. But there is only one actual cut of the film. On to point two then, which is the high points, best bits, things, people, situations, and all that of the film. Chris, you picked the film, so why don't you take us through your high points, and Andy and I will chime in when we feel like it.
Not quite like the scene, the three of them as adults in the car, but after that, the opening of how he became a gangster and as a kid and how he went through all the ranks and helped all the...
Well, you missed one important point.
So
one of the best high points, just Joe Pesci just stabbing. Jib.
I'm going to talk about later on when it came to him.
It's a great jibbing scene.
A good jibbing scene. It's a good first scene. I'll come to my problems with it later, but it is a good... what's that noise? And it's like us having watched 100 gangster movies since 1990, you're like, oh, it's probably someone in the trunk. But at the time, I bet it was quite funny that, oh, it's actually a guy locked in the trunk. Carry on, Chris.
Yeah, just like seeing how he meets all the other gangsters, how he meets Tommy and Jimmy, and yeah, but Polly seems like a nice guy. He didn't seem like to do anything. Everybody else seemed to do all his bidding.
Well, that's kind of the point, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't have it. It's not a low point for me, and I kind of half convinced myself otherwise, but I just want to voice it. Did young Henry Hill look enough like Ray Liotta for you? Because I felt like he didn't look that much like
He
him.
looked exactly like John Travolta.
He did have a bit of Travolta about him, didn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like they kind of had the same sort of eyes, but other than that, it's like you don't actually look like Ray Liotta. I don't. And I absolutely did not have Ray Liotta when he was 21 years old. Like that, you are about 10 years at minimum older than that, Ray. I'm sorry. And same
But
for Pesci playing whatever he was meant to
yeah,
be.
but after that bit, their de-aging actually worked after that when they actually
I
got
think.
them as younger versions of their actual selves.
Yeah, when they became. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. De Niro. De Niro worked because, like, basically every
Yeah, because
scene we
he
see.
was, by the time he was old, it's like, ah, that's De Niro, I know, but he looked younger.
Yeah, it worked for him. He was great. I feel like anytime we saw him for a while, he was like, well, you're 5 years older, and you're
Yeah.
5 years older, 5 years older. But really, Autumn was like the same for about the
Yep.
first three quarters of the film. And then it's like, oh, he's now about the same. And Pesci was like, him and
Yeah,
Pesci were trying to
changing to
play.
age him drastically.
Yeah,
That's
yeah.
all weird as well. Like, we all change color up.
Him and Joe Pesci playing probably from the age of 20 to about 40 without looking
Yeah.
any different, it threw me off a bit. But anyway, that should have been a low point, I guess, but it wasn't particularly. Small low point, so small high point nearly going for me, just beating up the postman so that he doesn't get
Was going
letters
to
from
say
school
that
delivered.
I love the power that gangsters have. Broad daylight, you come with me.
Which one is it?
Dragon.
It's that one.
I do that all the time with postmen, if they piss me off. Like
Just got
the
flipped.
Amazon guy when he doesn't give him a parcel in time. Puts it at the wrong fucking door. So I was in all day, you bellend.
I know,
You
oh, yeah, that
didn't
one, yeah. Nobody was in, we couldn't deliver it, lies. I feel like Chris might be near my next high point,
Yeah,
I would
that's
say.
exactly my next high point. It's just
The biggest surprise I had is I can't ever remember how early to the start of the film the funny how. It's like I feel like they set up what are they called? Tommy and Henry
I want
as
to call
best
him
mates.
Henry Tommy for saying.
Right, oh, Tommy, yeah. They set up the two of them as basically best mates within the mob. And then the first scene where they're just having a conversation is him snapping at him. It's like, but you're meant to be pals. Why is he? It felt too early. Like later on, I would have understood it, but it felt too early. But a great scene.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's memed all over the place. Excuse me, and like really a lot of like laughing is memed everywhere. And because it's been that long since I've seen it, I thought he was just on the verge of snapping. Like he's just always on that edge. Like he's got the tick that if you annoy him, he's coming after you. And he's just saying like, "How am I funny? You tell me I'm funny. How the fuck am I so fucking funny?" And it just gets like to the point where he's gonna about to shoot him or kill him, and he comes out and he's like, "Nah, just joking with you,"
Just
but
joking, yeah.
then instantly snaps on the waiter guy.
Snaps, snaps on the guy who owns the place. Yeah,
Just wants his
that's the thing.
money.
It's the only scene basically where Joe Pesci's character keeps it together, is with his best mate Henry, because then, like I say, he snaps immediately on Sonny that owns the place, and in every other scene that Tommy is in doing something similar, he ends up snapping on somebody, usually killing someone at the end of it. So it's the one time he keeps it together, but it's at the beginning. So it's almost like, oh yeah, he's just a jokester. No, he
Yeah.
kills that guy. No, he's killed that guy. No, he's killed that guy for the rest of the film. But yeah, unbelievable. And then yeah, funny how? Oh, you're just a funny guy. What funny? Like I'm here to amuse you. That bit there has stuck with me like forever. Is that one line of funny how? Like I'm a clown. Like I'm here to
Yeah.
amuse you. Is cracks me up. A great scene. Joe Pesci, sensational. Carry on, Chris. Any more high
My
points?
next one is speaking of people snapping, Henry. When he snaps on that guy for like trying on with Karen, and it looks like he actually looks like just beating the shit out of this guy, and like the sound of the gun smashing off of him
Yeah,
is
it's really good.
brutal.
Really good. It's a good period of the film that I've got. It's a high point for me is the period when Karen gets like swept up into the life, because it's that where she admits being like it was a thrill seeing him do that, and then basically the next scene is the wedding scene where Lorraine Bracco was great in the wedding scene. I've never noticed it as much, where she's just like wide-eyed and, oh my God, this is the greatest thing that's happening. This is the most wonderful life. Look at all these people. We're dancing. There's music. There's people. Everybody's called Peter and Paul and Marie, whatever it is.
I was tempted
And
to kill them all.
Yeah. And then we've got a giant sack of money as well. This is brilliant. This, oh,
yeah,
well,
I'm
going to
marry
thing.
The mafia life.
I know, exactly, yeah. You've missed over one legendary famous bit that's a high point for me, which is the Copacabana Club one shot, where the camera follows Ray Liotta and Lorraine Bracco. Was it across the street, downstairs, into a kitchen, around the kitchen for no reason, I noticed. Out of that room, through another corridor, and into a room with like 100+ people sitting in it, to the start of a stand-up show. And I counted, one thing I did count, it's not a stat, but Ray Liotta interacts with 13 people as he goes through there, so he had to remember what to do with all these 13 people. And they did 8 takes of that scene. They did 8 times of them walking all again and reset everybody, and then again, did 8 times.
I'm
But
going to chime
yes.
in now with that. That comedian is dog shit. There's
Oh,
not
I've had
at
horrendous,
all.
yeah. He's a famous comedian as well, playing himself, but like older. But yeah, I can't remember. Is it Lenny something his name was? Henny Youngman is a famous comedian, but yeah, not funny. Like, starting off, take my wife, please, as an opening line. Is oh, God, crickets in the back. But yeah, famous sign. And like back in the day where you couldn't do fancy swoosh cuts with CGI to be like, oh, we're actually in a different room now. It's all done physically with the one camera.
As previously mentioned, now shine my shoes. That was a great bit.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box. I don't know, it's like lighting a match is saying that.
So, like, what's Billy actually like? You know, he was just like, oh, I was just breaking his balls a bit. And then Jimmy's like, no, well, you are rude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he was rude to you, but you were rude to him first. And then he's like, ah, fuck, I was breaking his balls.
Yeah. And then that is like there's a beat. And it's like, now go home. And it's like, keep him here, keep him here, keep him here. And goes away. But that's a great scene. But there's something about the scene after where the three of them sit down and have like a meal in Tommy's mum's house with the dead body in the trunk. It just cracked me up, no end. It was them. And then one of the many
Did he shoot
improv
him in the
scenes.
mouth? Nah. Because he had the gun there, but I thought he got knocked out of his hand. He said he blew his head off. Because he was still alive in the car.
Yeah, he's alive in a, no, I don't think they shot him in, they just beat the crap out of him in the bar, I
That's
think.
fine.
I don't think they
Because
actually
he
shot
had
him
the
in
gun
the
in his mouth,
bar.
but
Ah,
he
yes,
got
fair.
knocked out of his hand. I wasn't sure if he
Yeah.
shot first, then it happened.
Presumably they were trying to stop him killing the made man, but they accidentally killed him. I feel like, do you not feel like Jimmy got no blame for the murder of Billy Bats? Like, because he was full on De Niro stomping on him. And I feel like Henry Hill was, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? While the other two were going at it. And then, they literally, spoiler, they literally whacked Tommy for that murder when Jimmy had as much to do with it. Like, the two of them did it. I thought it was unfair on poor
I
old Joe
did like
Pesci.
telling me afterwards, after he was like, I didn't want to get blood on your floor. I suggested
Yeah.
you pool.
I
He's a
didn't want
nice
to, but
guy
I
at
had to.
heart. But like you
But
said, then
yeah,
he's having dinner with Martin Scorsese's mum.
Martin Scorsese's mum playing Joe Pesci's mum. Yeah, it's one of the very many improv scenes. Half the scenes in the film were improv, which is why there is so much swearing in it, is because they just let them, here's the idea I've got, go with it and do what you like. And then Joe Pesci basically, the funny house scene is that one of someone's trivia note that it happened to Joe Pesci. He was a waiter or something like that when he was young. And some guy did the, and I don't know if it was to him, but he saw someone doing the funny how scene. So the Scorsese gave Joe Pesci and Ray Liotta an idea of what to do. Joe Pesci obviously knew what to do and didn't tell anybody else. And it was all improv with nobody knowing what was going to happen, which is why it's so tense when they're sitting watching it. But yeah, they improved a lot of it. Talking to Billy Bats, I've got. Oh, sorry, carry on.
I was gonna say, I like that they had to go back and redig Billy Bats up like 6 months later. So I'd be just about to say.
Literally, what my next high point was him, him vomiting as they were digging him back up again 6 months later. And then
Jimmy
him.
and Tommy just like breaking these balls. Be like, oh,
Yeah.
well, the mum's making liver.
Yeah.
Oh, we should really make something else as well.
Yeah, exactly. That was my next high point as well. Any more, Chris? I've got a few more.
Poor spider.
Spider's my next one as
This is
well.
the peak of Tommy's being a fucking nutter. Just like waving a gun about, dance, fucking boy, dance, bang, shoot.
Whoa! Everybody else at the card game going, whoa! As he pulls it out, it's funny as well.
But
Oh,
he
that's good.
deserved it. He forgot his water. That's all he wanted.
I can see how he's confused. I went back, and it's kind of, I could tell that Joe Pesci was asking for a drink, but the words he says aren't like "give me a drink." I could see how Spider did get confused. My favorite bit of it is, well, obviously it's Spider biting back, which is a great moment in a movie. But when he finally kills Spider and like you're gonna have to bury him. I'm not doing it again, Tommy. You do it. And he goes, "I'll dig the hole." You think I don't know how to dig a hole? I'll dig the hole. Where are the shovels? It cracked me up with the "where are the shovels?" That's good. I have three more high points, Chris, if you want to.
You might be getting my high points in.
No, and Andy's been quiet, I've noticed. Yeah.
Mine's I've got Henry and Jimmy getting arrested.
That's where I'm at. I'm being
Oh,
arrested
okay.
finally. Okay. And you're
Finally.
well, just that the arresting bit is good, but then straight after that we get Samuel Jackson. Oh,
Sam Jackson shows up.
Tommy is a jammy bastard because he's been a nut in his liability. He's like, you stay at home, I'll take Henry, I'll sort him out. So he got out of that. If he was in prison, a lot of this shit probably would have happened afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ah, you have a good point. Yeah.
It was a much needed change of pace when he gets arrested. It's like, I finally, something's happening now. It's not just
Yeah,
my.
it was. It's all glory up to that point, really,
Yes.
isn't it? That's the
But then straight after that, it's the high points are hitting. Like Samuel Jackson out of nowhere.
Well, yeah, all
Yeah.
the hits started happening there. As we, all these bodies just turn up
Yeah.
in all different
Okay.
manners.
But one of my high points is literally just before the hits start happening is "Sunshine of Your Love" by Cream playing as the camera pans into De Niro as he's just going through. Yep, I'm gonna have to kill everybody right now. And then starting with Maury, who just will not stop moaning about his money, which, in Maury's defense, he did come up with a bit of an idea and seemed to get no compensation for it whatsoever. And the natural murder of Maury is great because Henry at that point thinks he was lucky he survived that night because I convinced him not to do it. And then the next scene is him actually getting killed in quite a brutal way with just a knife to the back of the head. And then what's the guy's name? Carbone. The guy with like the perfect kind of afro, for lack of a better term, him not being like him getting confused whether he's supposed to drive or get out, whether they're doing it here or not. The Carbone stole the film for about three scenes around this point until he got killed and hung up in a butcher's van or whatever it was.
Why did he get killed? I didn't think he was a liability.
Because the paranoia got to poor Jimmy, I think that's why everybody knows, and I'll go down and I can't do that again.
Imagine being like oldie days or the 80s gangsters and just getting your meats. No wonder everyone's halal
Yeah. Has this had a gangster had its
food
throat slit and drained next to it? Never
now.
mind the
Well, this beef tastes a bit Italian.
animal. Yeah, what's this been seasoned with?
Yeah.
I've seen I always kind of half forget, also because I kind of confuse it with what happens in The Irishman, no spoilers, is Tommy getting made towards the end, which I always kind of half forget, and I'm like, but then once it starts happening, I'm like, all right, I could see where this is going. I don't know how Tommy doesn't see what's going. And then just Joe Pesci, just the way he just goes, oh no, like when he opens the door and it's an empty room. And then before he can even finish saying it, he's dead just like that out of nowhere. It's.
I forgot about the guy that he whacked. I forgot about the whole maid thing. You can't
Oh,
kill
really?
the guy and all that. And then, as soon as like Villiotta starts going, "Yeah, you killed the guy, and that's why he was never going to be maid." And I was like, "Oh fuck yeah, I forgot about the guy." But it's just be like he flops to the ground, and his pool of blood just appears.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I think I don't know if it's best plan because I haven't really thought about it deeply until right now. It was a great way for those who were doing the hit to get Tommy on his own because the other two are half Irish and they could never be made and they're never going to be that important. So they couldn't even come to the ceremony, if you want to call it that, because they're not full-blooded Italians, which
So
is why it
who
was a great
performed the
plan
hit?
to.
Was it
Pardon?
who performed it? Was it Batsy's group or was it his own?
So the wee short fat guy, it looks like Paulie, is Paulie's brother. So
Right.
he was one of them. And then the other guy is Vinny, who is played by Martin Scorsese's dad. And he was the guy who had the big pot in prison. So he wasn't the steak guy and he's not Paulie. He was the other guy who was in prison cooking with them. He's the guy who actually shoots him. And the wee
Right.
fat guy is Paulie's brother. So they must have, but I couldn't ever work out, is Billy Bat's a made man in a different gang, if you want to
That's
call it
what I
that.
thought. I thought it was just
So
a different group.
I thought so too, but I think they were like, oh, well, he killed a made man. we'll do it. Like, sorry, our brother's from across state, whatever it is. We'll do the business ourselves and we'll take care of him. He's our man. We're going to do it. Apologies for what he did seems to be the rules, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I was a bit confused myself at who did it. I've got one more high point, and it's May 11th, 1980, is the next one, which is Helicopter Day for Henry Hill, where he has 101 things to do and is just buzzing around town on cocaine. Half the people he's trying to work with are also on cocaine. His brother's in a wheelchair trying to make dinner, and he needs to get back and make dinner. And the whole time he's paranoid about these helicopters that are indeed out after him, trying to catch him. It's a great period of the film, that with him
I've
just
seen it a while ago. I
basically
always thought it was just a paranoia. I thought it was like a news helicopter was filming something just happened to be above him. And then he did something
That's
fucked it up.
That bit's definitely in GTA Vice City as well.
as the film goes on, this has to be one of the most important things to Grand Theft Auto is this film. Because the kinds of music that's in it, the actors is in it, the kind of side characters, like you see Samuel Jackson's not in it very much, but that same kind of character pops up in Grand Theft Auto games and all that. So it's so clear, because obviously I'm watching a lot of Grand Theft Auto at the moment with the new one coming out and playing all the old games and all that sort of stuff. So it's yes, it's so GTA. And you're right, that one with the helicopters as well, is, and then the police showing up as well, and even the way they show up with a gun pointed at the side of his head, how you get arrested in Grand Theft Auto. Anything else? I'm done my high points.
I'm out as well. I'm done.
Let's move on to point three, which is Andy's low points for his
You got
failures.
win.
So Andy, why didn't you start us off with low points? And Chris and I will chime in.
I like Dune, right? People thought I wouldn't like Dune. It's a long film with a lot of characters in it. This film's got a lot of characters in it, and I couldn't tell you one of them. You guys are
Really?
rattling
Okay.
off names and stuff like that. I'm just going by actor names
I was
because
saying that I've
there's
known names by the amount of times I've watched this film now.
there, yeah, it's just so fuck. Every time I've ever watched this, I'm just like when I was younger, so I think I watched this too young. And then the kind of time jumps confuse me because it's like, right, that's not really law. All right, it's meant to be him. Then you've got to think back, and then it's like, right. And then I just get confused by that shit, especially when it's not done well. And like as you said, he looks nothing like him.
It was nothing like him, and
That's
then they
just
look the same.
saying
Like
20 years
from
later once or
19,
twice. Aye.
because it starts in 1970, I want to see,
I
with
thought
Billy
60s,
Batson.
but yeah. 50s? No, it's not 60s.
They go through the 60s, but I think it start. I think the very first thing is 1970 in New York. I think is when they
Aye.
kill Billy Batts, and it goes all the way back to 55, and then we get young Ray Liotta for I don't know how many years, but then from like some point in the 60s right through to basically 1980 late, I think. We get Ray Liotta as the same guy. And it's like, yeah, you see, it jumps like maybe one day at a time, and then it jumps 5 years, then it jumps 10 years, then it jumps one day. It's massive jumps, and they kind of look the same the whole way through. It's hard to tell.
And like I like a bit of story building and stuff like that, but like there wasn't really any necessary. Like the first 20 minutes of this film is pretty much unnecessary. They
I
talk
have
about
got
where
that
the
as a low point,
doctors
Andy.
are, eh?
I have got Ray Liotta just talks non-stop at me
Hi.
for the first 20 minutes of this film.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite of show, don't tell. This film tells you,
Yeah,
I'm
way too
this, I'm
much.
that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this. And he just keeps on going, keeps on going. And the first time it actually really slows down is the I'm a funny like a clown scene.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, thank God, I'm not being told the
But
story anymore. I can actually watch what's happening. And
I'm
I
all
was
for a film
surprised.
that's like if it just stayed like that, it's explaining the mobsters and explaining gangsters and how he wants to and like he grows up and like that's his life. But it does it for so long, then it's just a big jump. It's like, what the fuck is the point of that? Like, I didn't need to know about why he's postman's that. There's no thingy of that. It's just shown me 20 minutes of gangsters. Like, I'm not
On
gangsters.
that one of my low points is prison a low point? Like, did we really need to see him being in prison, what it's like for a gangster in prison? Like, because they show a little bit, and then they show Karen coming in, and oh, I can't deal with
Hi.
that. And oh, that woman's name's there again, and there's a bit more, a bit more, a bit more. And then it goes 4 years later. Could we
Yeah.
not just have gone, and then I got locked up
I
4 years later? I came out of prison, and when I was in prison, quick shot of him getting into dealing drugs, basically, and then he
Yeah.
could be like, "And now here's the drug dealing portion of the film." It didn't need the chunk of him actually being in prison. It would have been a perfect time
It's
for a time
got a
jump.
pacing issue of the film.
Polly slowly slicing that garlic with a razor was fucking horror, like brutal to watch.
I quite liked it though. I'm quite tempted to try it to see what it's like.
I'm gonna try it as well, actually. Yeah. See if it doesn't melt it. My overall thing is the whole Karen Janice slash Sandy love drama.
Anytime there's romance in this film, it just literally just took out of the film.
I was really taken by Lorraine Bracco. I thought she was really good. So I quite liked a lot of Karen in this film.
The
But yeah.
sex line. It was just like so forced. It was like, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to prison. Let's lie down.
I
Let's
do
lie
like
down.
though that he was like he promised, okay, you'll never see or hear about Janice again. So he just moves on to Sandy instead. Like, that's a good workaround. I like it, Henry. Very good.
But my phone came out like a lot when they were
Oh, it's just
doing
like
stuff.
anytime. It's just like even when it's like, right, he's gonna go and do his drugs, he's got his cocaine now. It's all right, quick handy. It's like, oh my God, like
Yeah,
why?
exactly. I didn't need that again. Yeah, it's like three
Nice.
times that happens. Yeah.
Constantly. It's like
I did
no.
like seeing Karen being a badass though, like going to Janice's house and beeping and saying, leave my fucking husband. I was phoning everybody, you've got a whore. Beep, beep, beep. I've just pressed every fucking button. You've got a whore staying in this room.
While we're on Karen, one of my low points, it's not a low point as much as, but I'm very much with Karen. I'm on her side with the flushing incident.
Yeah.
Like, she should have flushed the drugs. I think that was the smart move
He was going to find
because
that in a cupboard. He didn't hide it particularly well.
whatever it was meant to be, if it's behind the television, which it seemed like it was, like, I mean, oh, they're not going to come in and search there, are they? Like, oh, you're an idiot. I know, like, surely he's already going down. Adding, what was it, 60 grand's worth more, it's probably going to make it worse for him. But then also, would that not maybe implicate maybe Karen as well? And she'd also get locked up that it was happening in her house,
She
potentially?
got locked up anyway for flushing it. She's like, what's it called? A perverted course of justice or something?
Yeah, you could be right. Yeah, she might do well to get off, to be honest. Yeah. On the subject of Karen, it's not a low point or high point, but I just wanted to ask you a question. Do you think Jimmy was going to have Karen whacked?
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think so. Why would he do that?
Because she knows the business, and he was getting rid of anybody that knows the business.
But he thought, oh yeah, because Henry will just be fine with it, won't he? His wife will just come home dead one day, or will be like, oh, she's gone. Yeah, what could possibly have happened to
Because
her?
they were moving stuff out of the way, and he was just like, yep, in there, just sneak in there and have a wee look in that dingy, dark room with two
If he
guys.
wanted her, if he wanted her dead, wouldn't he have made her dead? As in, oh, it's just down here. Come on, Karen. Yeah, on you go first, sort of thing, and then like shut the gate behind her or something like that.
See, another low point. Gangsters are confusing. What do
Yeah,
they
I don't. I
want
think
to do?
it's supposed to be the paranoia getting to Karen as well, I think, or
Yeah.
that Jimmy's actually completely paranoid and he's trying to kill everybody. But I on this viewing, I think she's just too worried. I think she was safe. He had whatever it was he was offering her down in that weird alleyway, which sounds strange.
I didn't trust him.
Any more low points?
Mine isn't at the end, the court scene of him just like, oh, pointing out people out and over, just stand up and walking out. It's like, oh, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. Now it's all over.
The fourth wall break is completely, I have no idea, because it doesn't even end the film. It's not like, oh, here's the wrap up to the end of the film and the end. Like, the film carries on, but he's spoken to us for a bit for some
So
reason.
is that this the whole thing? Is his voiceover supposed to be him in court just telling everybody what's happened?
Presumably, and then what when Karen does it, is she also on the witness stand talking as well? Maybe. But then why is it not to the camera? Why is it doesn't make sense. Because it definitely crosses over. Like at one point he's doing the voiceover and you can just hear it echoing a little bit, which is kind of different. And then all of a sudden it cuts back to him and he gets up and he continues talking what he's saying, walking out. So yeah, implication is it's him on the stand that's been telling the entire film. Possible Michael Peña nominee with that fact that he's telling it. But yeah, the fourth wall break, I have no idea what it's for or the
I hate
purpose. And that's me, I have no more low points.
that. Right.
Us. On to point four, the
I'm just making a
stats.
fucking list coming from you. The whole film's a list.
The whole film,
That's the
Andy
film.
says. 17 shits, although difficult to count the swearing in this one. But I think shits were at 17, maybe less than 20. However, F-bombs. I, not at my 100% best counting, counted 278, which is seven less than the Big Lebowski, which is our current record holder. But the internet tells me 300 and 321. So I think this is officially a new record of most F-bombs in a film
It didn't
that we've
seem
covered.
that bad at one point. Don't notice
That's how they get you. That's how they get, because The Big Lebowski, you don't
it.
think there's 285 F-bombs in 2 hours of The Big Lebowski. It doesn't feel like it. Roughly two swears per minute, or sorry, two F-bombs per minute in this film. Joe Pesci is responsible for 150-ish
Good boy.
of the F-bombs. As of the year 2020, this had the 15th most F-words in any film made. And I did not look at the rest of the list so as not to spoil my selections or anything like that, what people might say in the future. But yeah, this is a famously sweary film, this one here. 300 plus F-bombs in this film, and half of them are Joe Pesci. Explosions, three, and it was just the three cars that he blows up right at the
Right.
beginning when he's young, young Ray Liotta, and that's it. There's nothing else exploded for the entire rest of the film. Deaths, 10 or 11 if you want me to count Polly, because he died in the end credits. If you're not saying he died of respiratory failure or
Yeah.
whatever it was in
I'll say
prison,
11 then.
or 11. I could go through the list, but they're not actually. It's like most of the characters have names that you guys don't know, put it that way. Quotas, no cows, no goat, dead animal. Well, there's giant meat trucks full of animals the
I'm
whole
gonna say I
time, so
definitely did cows in it.
yeah, definitely. So a dead cow if you want to count it that way. Paedophiles, I think we're safe from them in this one. I think anyone's suspicious, I don't think. Tom Cruise, Tacko Berry, Sarah Connor trifecta.
More
Henry Hill
about
would
it
have
every time. There's no more about it.
Henry Hill, but no motorbike. Yes, exactly. So I've done well. We're now at point four. I've not called him Harry Hill once, so I'm quite happy with that. So the 58-minute mark of the film, we return back to where we started. Takes the first half of the film to get us back to where Billy Bat's being in the boot. You know what I'm saying? Robert De Niro, first build, screen time, 33 minutes. He's only on screen for 33 minutes. Did they say the thing? Goodfellas.
Right.
Three. And it's bish bash bosh at the 1 hour 45 minute mark. We call ourselves Goodfellas. You know, like how you say that guy's a good fellow, or what was it said at the beginning? Goodfellas. And that's it. He did this, those three. Chris, any stats from you?
27 of the Goodfellas cast are in The Sopranos.
I've got that exact note in Movies of the Movies. I'm glad, because I could not stop laughing, because scene after scene after scene after scene is somebody in The Sopranos.
I wouldn't rattle them off, but it's a lot of the cast. But
Big
I have them
ones.
all here. There was another thing as well. Lorraine Bacco's, is it Bacco?
Bracco.
Bacco's daughter and Harvey Keitel's daughter plays Henry and Karen's oldest daughter.
Ah, okay. Right, I didn't know that. That's good.
And there was something else, but I can't remember what it was now. Oh, we never see Ray Liotta's Henry Hill kill anybody.
You're right, we don't ever. But you can tell with the first most of the film that he's like, when death is happening, he's kind of running around, not really knowing what to do, because that's not what he does. He isn't that kind of gangster. Andy, do you have a fun fact?
Robert De Niro wanted to use real money. So he used real money. And also, most of the extras were actually, well, not most of them, quite a few of the extras were gangsters.
Actual gangs. This is, I think this
Actual
might have been
gangsters.
the beginning of actual gangsters wanting to get into gangster films and then becoming friends with actors, and Paul
Yes.
Sorvino kind of half crossing over and all that sort of stuff. And then Tony Sirico, who's one of the Sopranos guys, he used to be a gangster, is in this a little bit and then became one of the main cast in Sopranos. And there's two or three others that are kind of the same. I've got a fun fact I never knew before. When Henry and Karen are negotiating to enter the witness protection program, former US attorney Edward MacDonald played himself, reenacting what he actually did with Henry Hill in that scene.
That's
Because
cool.
I was like, if Goodfellas was made today, this would be an out of nowhere famous actor. Like Robert Forster would be this guy right now being witness protection. It's like, why is this nobody? Why is he the guy who's doing this scene? It's like, why don't we? And it turned out, yeah, he's actually playing himself, which is kind of mad. And that's us for point four for the stats. So we're on to point
Yeah,
number five, the 10 point podcast quiz. Andy, over to you.
here we go. So this film is called Goodfellas.
You are right.
So we're going to do a quiz called Badfellas.
Ah, which is the Grand Theft Auto parody in the Grand Theft Auto games of Goodfellas as well. Badfellas.
So, I'm going to tell you an actor, and you've got to tell me why they're a bad fella, aka why they've been arrested or got a criminal record.
In real life or in a
So, in
film?
real life.
In real life, okay.
Oh, fuck. So, like, I won't hold, like, you can say a thing, and if it's like roughly, it doesn't
Right,
have to be
okay.
technical terms.
We're also not suggesting anything we
It
say
doesn't
about
have to be
anybody.
your
It's
specific technical terms, Bruce, but I
pure.
don't have to get it on the money. No, these are all legal and binding in America,
Binding.
pretty much.
And if we're wrong, we're not suggesting that person is guilty of that. We're just
No,
guessing at what
no.
they
Only
might
when
have
I tell
done.
you the answer, they are genuinely guilty of it.
Okay. In case our lawyers are needed here.
Exactly. So who wants to go first? I'll go first. I can't remember my first last week.
I
Right.
don't mind. Chris usually knows.
The bad fella, Chris. Will Smith. Why is he a bad fella?
It's not as obvious as slapping Chris Rock.
I say assaulted a man at the Oscars one.
The answers need to be roughly a criminal. DUI.
Right, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I mean. But that's the wrong answer. Bruce.
Oh, so it wasn't DUI. Is that what
Not
it was?
DUI, but yeah, think criminal things. If you get roughly
Okay.
in the area.
What would he have done? Would he have? I'm assuming Andy's not going too dark with this, so it's not going to be like. I imagine someone like O.J. Simpson might not come up on this, but I'll wait till later to see that. So, what would Will Smith have done that wasn't a DUI? I don't. Was it being? What's it called again? Like being noisy? Has he got an ASBO against him? Whatever it's
He's
called,
not got an
disturbing the
ASBO.
peace.
No, Will Smith was a bad, a
Bad
good, a
boy,
bad fellow. He was a bad boy,
a
technically, but it was aggravated assault and criminal conspiracy
Oh, really? My
was why
God.
he's a bad fella.
Him and Jazzy Jeff, no doubt.
Exactly. Right, Bruce. Matthew Broderick. Why is he a bad
Oh, I
fella?
know this one.
Oh, I don't know this one. Say Broderick. Public nudity or something like that.
Don't follow you, hey, Chris.
He hit somebody with his car and killed somebody.
Careless driving is what his
My
offense
God,
was.
did he? Cheapo.
Didn't get jail either.
No, just careless driving is what his offense was. He's a bad
He got away with it with some sort of extendy arms and extendy
fella.
legs that got him off.
Right. Chris, he stole the point, but you again.
Yeah.
Tim
Oh, yeah, come back up a
Allen.
point then.
Oh, Tim Allen. Tim Allen.
Ooh.
Buzz Lightyear. Home Improvements.
I'm gonna say drug abuse.
Galaxy Quest.
Drug abuse, I'm not going to give you it, no.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna say what's it called? Having a controlled substance on his person or something like that, I'm gonna say.
I'll give you it. It was cocaine possession
Ah, there we go. That's
and
what I'm. That's
also
what.
drunk driving. So he's a double header.
DWI. That's driving while intoxicated
Yeah,
or
quite a
something,
lot
is
of these are
it?
double headers. If you get one of them, I'll give you it. But yeah, cocaine possession was Tim Allen.
Ooh.
Right, Bruce. Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Flipping heck, he could be anything. I'm gonna say he was like speeding or something like
He's
that,
not
really quick.
speeding, no. Aggravated assault. It needed to be a bit more than aggravated assault. It was attempted murder.
Bloody
What?
hell, was it?
Yes, it was.
It
So yeah, that's
wasn't one
Mark
of his
Mark
pop
for you.
songs. I attempted murder of our eardrums or anything like that, was it?
Where am I going? Chris. Bill Gates. Why is he a bad fella?
Drug
What
dealing.
the fuck?
I'm gonna
I'll
say
give you a clue. It's a double header.
two, right? Okay.
Speeding.
Yeah, I'll give you it. It was driving without a license while speeding.
Ah,
It
there
gets the
you go.
point. Gets the point.
The trick, that's a trick one, because she was thinking, it's something to do with like hacking or something like
Yeah,
that, right?
I think like exposure or
Yeah.
something to the computer or something like that stuck
Right.
in my head.
Bruce, Jay-Z.
Jay-Z. Right. I'm going to be like bank robbery or something like that with him.
I know one.
It's not bank robbery, no.
He's possession of a firearm.
It's no, it was
Oh.
stabbing. Oh,
Oh, my
he was a
God.
stabber.
He's a stabber.
Right.
He's a Tommy DeVito.
Just so they're not all bad fellas, that's a bad woman.
Oh.
Chase
Bad
Crawford.
girl. I haven't got a clue who that is, so I'm going
Chase Crawford.
to see. Oh, sorry, no. This is a guy, sorry. Not my woman.
Fair enough. I
Don't
don't.
know who
I
it is.
recognize the name.
And it's not Chase, it's Case Crawford. I
Case.
know exactly who it is when I say.
This is basically just guess a crime at this point.
It's the Deep. Oh!
Ah,
He
okay.
killed a
Having
whale.
sex with a
No, Chris. Case
dolphin.
Crawford.
What have we not had yet? I'm going to say assault of a police officer.
No, it was drug possession. Just
Damn
generic.
it. I should just stop with drugs. Just every answer of drugs.
Right. W woman for Bruce.
What?
Bad woman. Carmen Electra.
Ooh.
I'm going to say something to do with cars. I'm going to say, like, she hit somebody with a car specifically.
It's not hitting someone with a car or not.
I was going to say prostitution, but it's not
No.
that. It's dealing with a car.
Nope, it was assault and battery.
Bloody hell.
Right. We're going, Chris. Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right.
Seen him in a while.
Must
Should be on
be
the podcast.
drug possession.
It's exactly drug possession.
He's famous
Nailed
for
it. Without a thought. Bruce. 50 Cent, 50 Cent.
I mean, like, I know he got shot six times or it
I just
was.
think,
I'm
well,
imagine.
he did at least
I've got to
50 Cent
say,
of his rap sheet for
he
this point.
definitely tried to kill somebody at some point with a gun, I would say at some point. He had a gun, attempted murder, attempted manslaughter, bank robbery, conspiracy to steal stuff.
None of those are from
What?
my first one. None of those.
Nothing of that, right?
Not this.
Okay.
Not in his official. Well, he maybe he did, but not in his
Maybe.
official rap sheet.
This is a dark one. I don't want to go there. I'm going to say rape. It's not rape.
I don't think I would go there.
It was drug dealing and just assault and battery. That's all he's
Just
ever been.
assault and battery. Okay, fair enough.
Where am I going, Chris?
Yeah.
Chris has got an unassailable lead, I think, unless we're still going.
Oh, we're still going. Don't worry, Woody Harrelson.
Not
Have a
he's
think,
like,
Chris.
he's married to like his niece or something like that. So
Chris is going down the
I don't
rape
think being, if he's actually married to her, I don't think that would be breaking the
route.
law, you know?
Abuse of a minor?
Not abuse of a minor, no.
Because like she was young,
Bit of
like,
a
this
Chris.
is usually, for anyone new listening to the podcast, this is not normally where these sort of go. I'm going to say drugs upon his person for Woody Harrelson.
It wasn't, no, he was just disorderly conduct, then he resisted arrest.
Ah, all right.
So nice and simple. Bruce.
Breaking
Marlon
the peace, that's why.
Manson.
Marilyn Manson. Always seems like a nice chap, him, Marilyn. I'm not gonna go the cars or drug route with him, so I'm gonna go public exposure or something like that.
Not public exposure, no, I can't accept that.
I was gonna say drugs.
Nope. This was sexual misconduct. Fuck.
Ah,
Oh,
there we
that's, is that
go.
not with Evan Mitchell Wood?
Yes. Right. One more each. Or whoever started.
It's me. I started,
Chris.
so yeah, one more each.
Stephen Fry.
I would say drug possession.
He was not a druggie. Bruce.
What did he do?
Oh no, wait.
I'm gonna say, like, I don't know, and anti-police something or other, like resisting, not resisting, just gonna be in, attacking a policeman or something like that.
No,
What
it
am I
was
called?
credit card fraud. Huh.
Oh,
He
right,
was credit
okay.
card fraud. And Bruce, your last one.
I cannot win now, but give me it
Cannot
anyway.
win, but just for fun. I'll tell you what, this person's got one. Two, three, four. If you can name all four of this person's, you
Right,
the win, okay?
okay.
Christian Slater.
Christian Slater.
So give me
Right,
four.
definitely under the influence of something at some point. I thought that was the
Oh, you're not
banker.
answering mathematics.
I
No,
don't know if I'm the
just give me
right.
rattle off four.
Right, under the influence of drugs, probably while driving and going too fast, resisting to arrest, and then also it beat up somebody at some point as well. Let's say that.
No. Well, you got, I'll give you one. He was drunk driving,
That's what I was going to say.
assault, possession of a firearm, and sexual assault.
Ah, right. There's two of them I didn't get then. Fair
So,
enough. Chris wins, I would
Chris
say.
wins. He knows he's bad fellas.
He knows he's bad fellas. On a point six.
I think
Does
we might
Chris
have cleared
know?
that.
Does Chris know his movies within movies and people what we have done before?
There's only one Hall of Famer, which I'll get to at the end. But
Me too. I've done the same. I've got him at the end as well.
Isaiah Whitlock Jr., the sheet.
Shit.
Love that guy. He was in Gremlins 2 as a fireman. He was a doctor in this. He was the one that wanted to check out Rave, and he.
I jumped up when I saw him. I was like, oh my God. And so he comes up in my nominees.
He was Danny John Jones for me.
This one is my Danny John Jones.
Oh.
Tobin Bell.
Tobin Bell was the other one.
The parole officer. Out of nowhere. Like literally blinking miss it, he's gone.
I'll wait till Danny John Jones before we debate it any further.
But yeah. I forgot
him. Tobin Bell from Saw. Just Michael, one Saw is all he's been in, by the way. So
Imperioli.
For us. Michael Imperioli, yes.
He was a spider. He was Bad Boys. He was Jojo.
Played basically the same role in Bad Boys.
Speaking of Bad Boys, Kevin Corrigan.
I kept looking at it. I was like, is that who I think that is? And I kept looking at it. I was like, is it him? And I was like, oh, finally, I was like, oh, fuck, it is. It's Kevin
Corrigan.
It could
be a lot because I stopped at like six. Mike Starr, who was Frenchie, who was in Dumb and Dumber as Mental.
I could not place him. I was like, what do I know? What is he from? And I was like, oh, yeah, he's the guy that like gets poisoned, doesn't he? Whatever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
Poison. Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, he's
and he's the guy who has, do you want to hear an annoying noise? The guy that's in the band with him.
Our Hall of Famer is Samuel Jackson, the Stax. He's been in Django, Triple X, and Jurassic Park.
I think, I don't know if he's that, it's going to be tough for him
on like
that.
Bit parts. He hasn't actually starred.
Jurassic Park's a bit of a classic. But Django, he was amazing. Django, he was amazing. So, but yeah, outside chance. But I think there'll be one or two Samuel Jacksons at some point that'll get him in, I think. But yeah, legend. You missed.
There's a lot of random names that skipped over.
You missed Anthony Powers. Anthony Powers, he was Jimmy two times, and we did him in Catch Me If You Can. I don't know who he was in Catch Me If You Can, but he was Jimmy two times in this one. And you missed Debbie Mazar as Sandy.
I looked at her. What the fuck's she been in?
So I married an axe murderer. She plays someone called Susan. I think she was friends with the spoiler axe murderer in that film. So Debbie Mazar. I've done her before. She's also in Grand Theft Auto 3, Debbie Mazar, along with some others in this film.
Loads of stuff, but I think
Have you recast the three of us into the film, Chris?
Twice, bam. So, who do you think Andy could be?
Tommy.
Obviously. So, Bruce, I put you as Jimmy two times
because Jimmy two times.
You're always repeating yourself because me and him keep talking with Bobby.
Okay, yeah.
I put myself a spider because I'm a, what was it he called? A mumbling, stuttering fuck.
That's you, isn't it? Right, okay.
But to put us as the three, Andy's obviously Tommy, you're Jimmy, and I'm Tommy. Not Tommy, what the fuck's he called?
Henry. Henry, yes. I went that route as well, yes. I think that's... I'm greying, like Robert De Niro does in the film, so I'll take that one. But yeah, I think
I
that fits us quite well.
I'll take it.
Right, I didn't do the references. It's old mob films and some old cowboy films, so I didn't really do them. Did the Sopranos crossovers like Chris did. So I moved on to my other ones. Does this film reference The Wizard of Oz? It doesn't. I thought there'd be some... Shot, insult, something or other somewhere.
Your Wizard of Oz thing's dying on its arse.
I know, it was perfect. Every film referenced it for a while, but it's not. Could the film have come out in 1995? It definitely could have done, and Casino did come out in 1995, meaning there was definitely a... And it's like all the same cast, almost, to a person that's in it. Dead Man Walking. A bit different, this one. Billy Bat's the Dead Man Walking, because you see that it's Frank Vincent in the boot at the beginning, so when he comes back into it, you're like, oh, well, you're dead. So, other than that, I had another one that I've now suddenly forgotten. Any other suggestions of who was definitely a Dead Man Walking? I guess Tommy, when he's going to be made, was a dead man, literally Dead Man Walking at that point. And maybe Spider.
The guy and who was friends with Karn, and you, as soon as he was eyeing up Karn, he didn't die, but I thought he was going to get done.
It was mentioned in one scene, and then like two scenes later, the guy, my friend, all right, or my neighbour, I should say, yeah, he's going to get a kick in. Who's in the wrong movie? I don't have an answer written down. Who is in the wrong movie here?
I think it really are. Aye, because it should be John Travolta.
I would maybe suggest
driving down the street.
It would have been. He looked like fucking like young him. Looked like John Travolta.
He did. Maybe Robert De Niro. He's only in it 33 minutes. He's first billed. Yes. There's kind of another film that we could have followed his character that weaves into this one, and we see him killing everybody. Like there is another film.
Spin-offs, so maybe
it's an Irishman.
Yeah, maybe the Irishman, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think maybe Robert De Niro. And the trope that needs to die from this film, a new twist on a classic, marries a gangster, then gets pissed off when he's gangstering. That's the trope that needs. Normally it's the police side of it, but what trope for you guys?
I struggled with this one actually.
It's just like, I don't know, a generic mobster thing. Like, they need to mix it up. It's always the same. The same shit always happens.
But you realize this is the reason, though,
Well,
like
yeah, I get
this.
it. But, like, the mobster, they get caught by the police or they get caught by their own things. And this has both of them. And then the mobster some more.
Do some more gangstering,
Because it's
yeah.
based on a true story, a lot of stuff happened. It's not an actual trope, it's what actually
Yeah, it's
happens.
just exactly. Yeah, they
Have to
haven't written
find
it.
a trope. I'm fed up
Yeah.
with Italian gangsters kicking off.
The other one is probably the downfall of the mafia, always been like, we shouldn't get into drugs. And one guy's like, I'm definitely going to get into drugs. And it
Yeah.
all goes to hell at that point. It's all every
Or
mafia story is the same.
good bookkeeping is what they need to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Point seven. What's the one thing about Goodfellas that is the
Joe
one thing that
Pesci.
this.
I was going to say that guy behind you, Bruce. This is his
Funny
movie.
how. Funny how. Funny like a clown, like I'm here to amuse you is
His
my
Joe
one. So,
Pesci
yes.
film, other than Home Alone. Home Alone almost ruined it for him, but this is still his film.
The two sides of Joe Pesci are this
Yeah.
and getting the flamethrower burning through his hat onto his baldy head.
Yeah.
Point eight, the nominations for the awards at the end of the season. Chris leads off with the nominees and we debate who should be put fourth
This
from
is
this
basically going
film.
to get poo-pooed by Andrew, but our best actor really are. Nah, shit.
I think he's iffy. I'm not in on it. I don't like it. I don't have an option because he's the main actor, main star, but I think I'm not sure he's that great. And also the way he
Oh, he's
laughs,
so
he's like
pretty.
this. He does that
He's
like,
got a good
kinda, for
face.
video.
Just
But
like that.
then you
The
can
laughing
hear him
beam.
laughing really loudly, but his
Hi.
face is just like that. It's
Hi.
like, how are you laughing so loud like that?
Because when he walked away from that guy after beating him, his face is always like,
Yeah.
gone at that.
Yeah,
But
I'm not having Ray Liotta.
anyway.
Unfortunately, poor Ray. He's better as Tommy Vercetti, but
Yeah, he knows his face.
yeah.
My best supporter is Joe Pesci.
Yep.
Undoubtedly, however, I do want runner up to Lorraine Bracco. I thought she was great. I didn't realize she was Oscar nominated when I put it down as well. So I was happy to see that he
Pesci,
won and
all
she was
day.
nominated. But Pesci's the winner, definitely,
I'm tempted to put her
absolutely.
as best badass.
Best bad is I've gone for Polly just because of the first scene where everyone's like mucking around outside the shop and all he does is just walk up to them, look, and then walk away again. And everyone's like, oh, we're all scared now. So I think he was the best badass. Unless you want to go Karen Andy, it's up to you. Split the tie.
I'm indifferent. She's
Indifferent.
not on my list. I just thought for there when you were talking
Fair
about
enough then.
it.
Polly wins, and I'm passionately in
Okay.
favour of Polly
So,
winning.
best team is Jimmy, Tommy, and Henry.
I
He doesn't
guess so.
have a good name. It's Jimmy, Tommy, Henry. Henry.
Henry, yeah. They are the
Even the first
Goodfellas. You could
names
have
and
just said
last
that
names.
as the team. I think their team falls apart. I don't think they're that great a team.
Well,
I think the team falls apart and therefore doesn't end up as a good team because they
not a good
fail to
team.
protect Tommy and then Jimmy tries to kill Henry. So I
Yeah,
don't know.
and Henry dobs him
This is
out.
what happens with all mobsters. They're all just, I don't think there's ever been a good fucking mob gang. But it never, it's only if they're here for a good time, not a long time,
Yeah,
mobs, aren't they?
even
Yeah.
Godfather, all like every single gangster film always falls apart because they can't get a team together. There's too many of them, that's the problem.
I don't have a best team answer, but I think, I don't know, the Goodfellas, I don't know, because even their success isn't just the three of them. It's kind of in spite of other ones. Like,
Yeah.
what do you call them? Joe Pesci's not involved in the big take, and that's nearly all Jimmy's money. It's really not much of Ray Liotta's money. So it's, I don't know, I'm not having them as
I
a
thought they
team.
performed it. No, he was in the shower. I thought it was
Yeah.
Jimmy and Jimmy that performed it. Did
No,
the
I don't think Joe Pesci was involved. I could be wrong, but I don't think Joe Pesci was involved in it. I think could be wrong.
All right. Oh, shit, I've gone
It
too
was all
far.
Stax's fault in the end, anyway. We know that much. Samuel Jackson was to blame for the downfall.
Apparently, that's not what I was in the movie. Biggest bell and up at Tommy.
I think so.
Yeah,
I
he's a
left it
dick.
blank, but that's because I felt like there's some options. Like in some ways.
Well, if I had killed some guy just for forgetting to get my drink and saying fuck you is a bit over the top.
Nah.
Henry? I'm not supposed to get into drugs. Oh, I did. Okay, now you're all going to prison because I got into the drugs business. Is that not
He's a
bell-end
bellend for
move?
ratting,
Hmm.
but
Who's the
Tommy
biggest
is a
bell-end?
kid. Well,
Well,
yeah, see, a kid. He's a young man.
Spider, yeah. I mean, of course, I think Tommy DeVito is a bail end. I think in the spirit, him, like, he's insufferable. Like, you could not, like, spend a day with him. It'd be hell.
He's also the best villain because he's unpredictable.
I've got Henry Hill maybe as the villain. Is he meant to be the villain in this story? I know it's tough. They're good fellas, but they're not the good people. And it's like, is one of them turning on the rest, him becoming a good guy or becoming a bad guy? It's hard to judge villains with this one.
I think Kane's a bit unpredictable and a bit of a nutter, but I think Tommy's probably the one you can actually trust. He wouldn't have
right.
If you were friends with him, he would have had your back right to the end.
Yeah. If you're in with him, which Henry definitely was,
yeah,
you knew exactly what he was going to do, which would be he would snap at everybody else, but you and him would get on fine. So, but yeah, okay, we'll have Tommy as best villain as well because he's a psychopath.
Speaking of Tommy, he's best dead.
I think so, yes. It's only him, maybe Samuel L. Jackson as an outside shout of best death, but I think it's Tommy, I think.
I like the ones in the bin lorry, though. Just in the very, very crushed.
Yeah.
Best inanimate object is that TV wall when it just
opens
up.
Right, yeah.
Is that TV? I want that.
Yeah, very, very 80s, I guess. Was it 80s, very 70s, maybe? 70s.
Worst plan, ratting on the mob.
Never ran the mob.
Getting into drugs when explicitly told not to, yeah. I've got for worst plan. That's kind of the...
I'm going to say the best plan is, was it called the Lufthansa?
Yeah, the Lufthansa heist is definitely the best plan because it goes very, very well. And it was the largest theft of cash in history at the time. Yeah, they said.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Danny John Jules. My choice of two is either Samuel L. Jackson or Tobin Bell.
See, mine's with Samuel L. Jackson, but then when you remind me of Tobin Bell again.
I knew Samuel L. Jackson was in it.
Right.
I thought Jurassic Park was his first ever film.
No.
Because somebody kept telling me that.
What's that?
But when Tobin Bell appeared.
Oh, fiction of no. Jackie Park, no.
Did happen after Jurassic Park,
is it?
I just about hit the roof when Tobin Bell appeared.
Right, Tobin Bell definitely wins.
For one scene. I thought he went off. I was like, oh my god, shit. But Tobin Bell.
I thought him. That was my first one. I was like, oh, no, think about it now. Tobin Bell works.
Tobin Bell,
if
sensational.
If he said shit, that would have been best character.
Yeah.
Michael Peña is just Henry's full story.
No. I mean, Joe Pesci spends the film telling stories, so I'm just going all-encompassing Joe Pesci.
What I always remember of Joe Pesci. Like, that's why I said, like, when we picked this film, or when Chris picked this film, I was like, Joe Pesci, make a penny.
I think if we didn't have the Michael Peña Award, we might have the Joe Pesci Award for best telling of a story.
It's one of the most memorable storytellers.
Listen, we've named them.
We've never had Michael Peña in a film.
I know, still. No, we have. He was in Gone in 60 Seconds, but had like one scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it wasn't that. It was there was something else he was in.
Fair enough, another one as well.
He's not a cop.
But was he maybe in Fast and Furious?
It's Vacation,
the Borders.
Oh, Vacation. That's right. He's a cop, you're right.
He got nominated for his own award, despite the fact he only said like two words.
I was workshopping with myself a new award during this one. I could come up with a catchy title for it, but someone who has a maximum of 1 minute of screen time. And I was like, there's some people like Jimmy Two Times. We mentioned him quite a lot there. And him and his one scene where he's like, got to go get the papers. And I was like, that's insane. And then to just all these little people who have like 1 minute of screen time. And I was like, could we come up with an award that was the best 1 minute character?
Minuteman Award.
And we could name it after somebody eventually. But I don't know who would nominate from this one, if it is Jimmy Two Times or Samuel Jackson potentially could be the Minuteman.
Yeah, he's definitely a minute.
Similar Jackson. So maybe I might work going forward if someone gets a maximum of 1 minute, even like it could even be people who are like on screen for like a second, but the way they look just steals the scene. But yeah, the Minuteman, Samuel L. Jackson, I think.
Oh, I don't know the end. Worst father figure is Henry's dad, although Henry's quite close run.
I had Henry, but I'd forgotten about his dad. Yeah. But I mean, I don't want to certainly be in support of what Henry's dad did, but how long was Henry not going to school? And I could see why he was very angry about finding out that he had not been going to school. But I had Henry Hill surely as the worst.
Well, he didn't beat his kids. I can't even go to prison.
Yeah, I retract and I go with Chris.
I beat them every now and then.
Should even in the 50s, it was considered good in the 50s, wasn't it? Beating
it
the kids. I don't know. It was good parenting.
Tell you what, there's a load of bell ends around right now. But back in the day, like, we're not bell ends. We got hot every now and then by our fathers, I guarantee it.
The belt was done away with for us. We were the generation in between. They got belted, then we were just fine.
Your dad gave me and Sean the belt to hit ourselves with. That's
Okay.
a semi
There you go.
enabling right there.
That's
I feel
200
like this
IQ play,
was not this year. He didn't.
that.
He brought it in one day. We could hit ourselves with it. He didn't hit
Yeah.
us. We hit
There
ourselves.
we go. Self-punishment. There you go.
I put best voice work as Elaine Brack. I preferred her side of the story. Dave.
I don't have best voice work anymore on mine.
No, I'll get rid
I
of
don't
that
know.
one.
It's tough. Yeah, I'll get rid of it. Animated movies, maybe, but let's not bother.
Best line is either busting or breaking my balls or fuck him in the ear.
I don't know what context did that come out?
Oh, I can't remember. Some guy goes, oh, it's Morty. He goes, fuck him in the ear. Then the other ear.
I don't have best line written down, but I did try to put one in. I've now got it next to stupidest character. Because I'm nominating Spider, just for him. Why don't you go
Oh,
fuck
brilliant.
yourself, Tommy? And it's like, oh my God, Spider, why have you said that? And I say that line just makes it. What have you done, Spider? Like that.
Best song I put Beyond the Sea. I like that whole little montage of them doing the prison thing. I was really happy Beyond the Sea song.
Somewhere. I'm tossing a coin, Eric
Oh,
Clapton. Either Sunshine of Your Love by Cream or Layla by Derek and the Dominoes were my nominees for best song. They're both Clapton
Sports was there
songs.
as well.
Do you have a
I
best song, Andy?
put it as a shit soundtrack because
Fuck you, buddy.
they miss a lot of potential. Like you got Vice City, they
Yeah.
nailed it. They nailed that soundtrack for gangster films. This one, they didn't know if they were in the 70s, if they were in the 80s. They had no idea what they picked all the shitty songs of the 70s and eighties.
That's something that we, I think, miss with the time jumps is I think the music is specially
Yes.
curated to be like, this is very 50s sounding, this is very 60s sounding, 70s and 80s sounding, but we don't quite pick up on it because it's not quite our 50s, 60s,
No.
70s, 80s music. So yeah, I think we kind of miss that if
I
you're
mean,
Scorsese and his
I did
stuff,
have a
maybe.
little bit of Apocalypse Now vibes.
Yeah. I don't know, we might have to go a tie then, unless you're wanting to give up. I'm not saying Somewhere Beyond the Sea is the best song, unfortunately, but
So.
right, no winner then. It doesn't.
Winner.
Layla is the song that when I hear the not the famous bit of Layla, but the other bit, the kind of piano-y bit of Layla, makes me think of Goodfellas.
Reference.
That's the only one that I would be in favor of, really.
Okay, what's costume slash outfit? I know it was the 70s and the 80s, but that collar that Joe Pesci is walking
Oh,
behind
that's the
you
thing.
pissed me right off.
When he's getting made as well, he has something daft on like that
Ridiculous.
as well.
Can't
Yeah.
buy one of them. Okay, so I've got two here, right? Worst hair is Maury's wig.
Yeah.
Best hair is Maury's wigs because those fuckers are waterproof.
I mean, did you not see how badly cut the advert was? Like,
Yeah.
it's like he went into the water and you never saw him coming
He's
out of
really
the
blown
water at any
dry.
point. Did you see the trivia on that advert, by the way? That Scorsese saw a guy doing his own advert for some crappy shop in New York. So contacted him and was like, that was so great. Can you come and make an advert about a wig shop for me for a film I'm making? And got the guy in to make the advert, sent him off with the actor that plays Maury, and said, right, go make an advert for a wig shop together. And it's actually shot, created, and all that by this guy who made like his own store's advert in real life, which I thought was great.
The best hair was just a joke one, but the worst hair is definitely Maury's wig.
Definitely, definitely.
Okay. Most obvious name, Jimmy Two Times.
Jimmy two times, yes. Yeah, we'll go for that. It's good though. There's something about it though. If you did have someone who said everything twice, it's
There's
like they say everything
loads
twice
of
all the
them.
time.
Like, there was a guy called, was it Jimmy No Nose or something like that? But he had a nose, like a proper, like, big nose.
You do get these funny ones like that that they come up with. There's like reasons for these definitely. I'm trying to look through the cast. Frankie the Wop, Freddie No Nose, Pete the Killer, Jimmy two times. And then
It's
that's
like
it, I
when
think.
Chantel came to Moffat originally and then just got all the nicknames.
Yeah, everybody
Like
has a daft name.
Dinger, Duff, like, and then finding out
Are
why they're called that, it's hilarious. It's still the one
you
that
done,
nobody knows,
Chris?
Kuskus.
Are you done, Chris? Are we coming back next week for more nominees? Or are you
Oh, yeah, sorry,
finished?
I'm done. I thought
Right,
it was the
okay.
last one. Apologies.
I think I've got nothing to add. I think you've gone through. Oh no, hang on, I've got one here, which is most annoying kid, Lois. She kind of blows the whole thing as well. She's like the one that's the drug mule. She's not a kid, but she annoyed the hell out
Ah,
of me.
right.
A drug
Don't make a
mule.
phone call using the phone. I'll make a phone call using
I'll
the
make a phone call with
phone.
your phone. Yeah, exactly. Most underused, Robert De Niro. I feel like he's not in it very much. I think he
Samuel
might be in this one.
Jackson. So
Samuel Jackson, potentially, yes.
I think De Niro's not enough. Despite
Yeah.
his top build, he isn't enough. Yeah.
Yeah, it gets into it more. I could already say why is Robert De Niro not in the film, and then he's in it more and more as it goes on. He's important, certainly.
Yes.
And Andy, best product placement.
Right, this was a. It started off with Cadillac, obviously, because there's Cadillacs everywhere, the pink
Is the
Cadillac.
pink one a Cadillac? Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cat, like that's a Cadillac. He drives the Cadillacs. However, there was about three times Pepsi came up.
Oh, really?
So there was
Okay.
the old school Pepsi sign, then they were drinking a bottle of Pepsi, and then somebody else had a bottle of Pepsi later on.
There you go,
So
Pepsi. I had the opposite of product placement. Did you have the same as me where the airline was blanked out on her airline tickets when she was trying to book the flight
never
to
noticed.
when she makes the phone call we're talking
Right.
about?
Ah.
It was on the Sky cinema version.
Was
It looked
black.
like the black bar. Like, you get over
Ah,
descent
no,
to
I don't
someone's
remember
identity. It's over the
that.
airline. So to hide whatever airline it
I
was
bet
that
it
she
was
was.
Pan Am.
Could I don't know, would it be? Maybe it could have been actually. But yeah, it's opposite of product placement there. That's us. No more nominees. Moral of the story is point nine. Drugs are bad is the moral of the story. Andy, what's your moral of the story?
Gangsters are good.
Gangsters are good. And Chris?
Drugs are bad, but I'm going to say marrying to the mafia. Marrying the mafia.
Marry into the mafia. Very good. Point 10, the 10-point rating, where we rate the film out of 10. Chris picked his first. I've gone for me in the middle and Andy last, obviously. So let's go that way.
Brace yourselves. This is a nine for me.
Ooh.
I'm a sucker for a true story. I like it as a violent one. I can't
Five
put
on-screen
it.
deaths only. Only five on-screen deaths.
Yeah, okay. The
So,
killings were brutal, though. The punches.
yeah.
It's been that long since I've seen it. I was watching it for the first time. I remember bits of it, but I can't put my finger on it why it's not a 10, but there's just something that just stops it from being the perfect film.
I'm giving it a nine for same reasons as what Chris is. I can't quite place it. It's not a 10. I think I had it as a 10, but it's not quite a 10. The film sucks you in like The Life of Crime does for Henry and Karen. I wrote that. I didn't copy that. I wrote that myself. But the first beginning 20 minutes where he's just like, this is what happens, and here's this person, this is what happens, and here's this person, and I did this, and I did that, and I did this, and I did that, and here's this person. I was like, oh my God, this is tough.
That's
This
why I
wasn't
like
good for
it
writing notes on.
glorifies like the stuff, and then there's like the downside of it as well.
But yeah, as it goes on, I think from like maybe the 45-minute when they get back to Billy Batson the boot, the rest of it, I'm like, this is great, it's great, it's great, it's great. So I'm a 9 out of 10 as well for me. It's not a perfect 10, but it is fantastic of what it is. Maybe Ray Liotta might knock it away from 10 if it was
Chris is
someone really
all
hit out
good.
of the park, hit out of the park in that role. Maybe it was a 10. Andy, do you score it a 9?
Right, so I messaged Chris when I was watching this film. Now, I've watched this film maybe four or five times. It seems like a film I should like, but I don't. I messaged Chris saying, I would rather watch Dr. Parnassus again.
Oh,
So
really?
my first message was, I fucking hate you.
Yeah, it was. And then it was like, I would watch Dr. Parnassus again. However, there's something about this film, I don't quite understand it. Joe Pesci saves this film for me. Anytime he's on screen, I'm just like, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Everybody else, I just think, like, really, I don't. He seems like he should be John Travolta to me. He changed that. He's probably got two more points in this film for me. There is a thousand gangster films that do this better. I know that most of them have been parodied off of this film.
Yeah.
However, I just hate this film so much. So purely because of Joe Pesci. Possession, the possession.
Don't possess you.
Yeah, he gets a two.
A two because of
It
Joel.
just scrapes past the Imaginarium.
The
But
Imaginarium.
I don't know why I hate this film so much, but I do. Is when Chris picked it last week, I was like, "Fuck me, we're screwed." I hate this film so much.
That's why we do this segment. We need both sides of the coin here,
We
Andrew.
do. But
Yeah.
no, for me, there is about 125 better gangster films that are
All
above
right, okay, about that. Right, okay. A 7 out of 10 officially with two nines, which is quite impressive. It might be winning for best film of the
it.
season. I'm not
He's
sure. A 7 out of 10.
wrong. He is wrong.
We get two guesses for what Chris's theme is, because Chris has a
Heads up,
theme.
I'm not going to tell you whether you're right or wrong because it'll affect my future picks, but I'll tell you at the end. when you were right.
That's not the point.
The whole point of us guessing is...
Yeah.
Because it's happened in the past, it's affected my future picks.
Well,
And my future picks are set in stone.
Yeah. But if we get it right, you can still pick them.
No, because then I think, oh, I'll just pick something else now.
But you don't do that.
No, stick to the
people
theme.
Already
If we get
proceed with a pick and then you just change it.
I change plans.
No,
is
Lord,
it the
you've
is
been,
it links
you've
to the
been
Godfather? That's
season,
what I've
you've been
got.
fucking us.
For some reason, this I feel like this is the middle between the Godfather and Apocalypse Now. This is the middle. Is it links to the Godfather? That's my guess,
No.
right? And then Andy can have a guess if he wants.
Mine says Oscar-winning films that are over fucking 2 hours fucking long. No.
Which is definitely a trend.
No.
But because this is the second pick, we get two guesses, and I'm going to guess directors we've not done before.
Ah, good one. No.
Damn
Oh,
it.
inadvertently no.
I've got two or other, two or three others
Yeah.
in the back pocket. I'm
Right.
keeping.
I've got
Andy, do you have
one.
another guess?
This is the ultimate one. Is it films that irritate the fuck out of me? Intentionally.
The best films that Andy hates? Is that
Apparently so. He hates good films.
I don't
what it
like
is? Right.
this film is shite. It's not a good film.
So to confirm, Chris, we didn't
Oh,
get it, and
you just haven't actually guessed it
well,
yet.
we don't know if we did
right.
because he might change it.
It would no, but you would tell us that we got it, but
Oh,
still
he'll tell us when we got it in like episode five
at
that
the
we
very
got
end,
it. Yeah.
after like when it comes to my last pick, I'll say, oh, you got it back then, by the way. So we might
Ah,
have got
but
it.
right, so we may well have got it. Right, okay, fair
Yeah.
enough then.
No, you
Oh, have
not
you?
oh, exactly.
This is a weird extra layer to this game.
Funny games, that's all I was
I'm
like
going to
to
say, but my theme now then that I'm doing, you know, if you get it, I don't care. I'm going to tell you you're wrong.
say.
My pick is next. And I'm going to say you've probably never seen this one, which I'm quite excited about. I don't know if you
Oh,
did. Had you seen Hitman, which is my first guess,
I've
my
seen
first
that,
pick?
man.
You've both seen Hitman, right? Okay, so that's what the theme was. I wasn't trying to pick films you've not seen, but I
Right,
think you
so
might
has
not have seen this
Chris
one.
seen it or have I seen it?
I think neither of you might have seen this one. Chris is more likely to have, but then I think Andy used to
Oh,
watch every film that I don't
fuck,
know
it's
about,
another
so
shit
maybe.
film. Bruce is
Yes,
gonna
maybe. 1997,
wait so long.
psychological conspiracy mystery thriller,
Oh.
directed by, in between directing Seven and Fight Club, David Fincher made this film.
My life.
Yeah, Seven, very good. Fight Club, people think is good. Starring 10-point podcast favorite, but not Hall of Famer, Michael Douglas.
Oh.
Now, well, he goes down well quite a lot. The Game, David Fincher's 1997 conspiracy mystery psychological film, The Game. Have you heard of it? Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
Oh, I missed
You've
the seen
bit
it?
where you were just
The
going to say
Game.
Basic Instinct.
The
Yeah, no,
Game.
I haven't seen it actually.
Yeah, I thought one of you at least. I thought Andy, you might never have heard of it and never seen it, but then also at the same time, it's the sort of one that you might have actually seen. So,
Yep. Every
seen it
single film from
recently?
Die Hard.
Every single film. That's
I'm not saying
obviously
it
seen that.
recently. No, that's a
Yeah.
long time ago.
I've only seen
But
it
when Beavis
once
were out.
ever. And Chris has an absolutely no idea, never seen it before. I've only picked out Michael Douglas. I didn't look too deeply into the cast. He is, in my memory, the guy who's in it. There's probably other people pop up. But yeah. Michael Douglas, directed by David Fincher, The Game.
Hard on for David Fincher.
I think it's the third. No, because he picked Alien 3. I've only picked. In fact, I didn't pick 7
Oh
either.
yeah, fucking hell, he was even three
So
ones as
I
well.
think Gone Girl might have been me. I think. So I don't know if
Yeah,
that's the
Alien
only one we've
3 would
done.
be. Aye. He's what he
Anyway,
David Fincher phase out of the podcast.
Oh yeah, definitely.
maybe you've all got 7 days to watch the game, and we'll see you next time on the 10-point podcast.